Eileen has been...
It is on. Okay. I've been... Good morning. I've been informed of my faults this morning already. And I have a soft voice. I don't speak very loudly. So I am going to change today. Start with you. So today I wanted to share a brief history, actually, of the Catholic Worker Movement as a whole, and then how the Winona Catholic Worker came into being. And I also, so when Lynn asked me to talk, I said yes. And then I also asked Eileen Hansen, who has been with the Catholic Worker for years as well. And so I'm going to talk, like I said, about the brief history of the Catholic Worker Movement, and then Eileen will tie it all together into one great, big, wonderful talk. So, and I have prepared something, so I will be reading it, but try to not be too too boring. Anyway, so the Catholic Worker began in 1933 in New York City during the Great Depression. And it starts with the meeting of Dorothy Day and Peter Morin, both lay Catholics who wanted to improve the social conditions at the time by putting their faith into action. Dorothy's prayer that some way would open up for me to use what talents I possessed for my fellow workers, for the poor, was answered when she met Peter Morin. Day was a convert to Catholicism and a journalist, and Morin was a former Christian brother, like the brothers up at St. Mary's University, a philosopher and an immigrant from France who had a calling to live a life of voluntary poverty and to share his knowledge of the Catholic faith, especially its social teaching. They were a force of nature and didn't waste any time in starting to plan a way to spread their message. The Catholic Worker newspaper had its debut on May 1st, 1933, where it was distributed in Union Square for a penny a copy and continues to be a penny a copy today. While the communists were saying, read the Daily Worker, the Catholic workers were saying, read the Catholic Worker daily. The paper contained articles on social conditions of the times and expressed its support of labor unions and the rights of workers. Peter wrote easy essays that were philosophical, poem-like writings. There's the pea popping. Okay. It doesn't stop there, because people are looking for help, and they need food and shelter. An apartment was rented to provide a place for those who were homeless, thus the beginning of the Houses of Hospitality. Because the houses were run with the belief in the worth and dignity of every person, and many guests were vulnerable and distraught, not many demands were placed on them, allowing them time to heal. Morin's vision for every home to have a Christ room, a room set aside for anyone who might need a place to stay, was somewhat realized in this way. Along with hospitality houses, the Catholic Worker platform, so to speak, was to establish farming communes for the unemployed, and to host roundtable discussions where you share what's on your mind and I'll share what's on my mind, and we'll both have more on our minds. I want to interject here that Dorothy was a city person and Peter grew up on the land, thus their focus being both the city and the rural. The movement took off and started to spread across the country, with more houses of hospitality and farming communes showing up in cities and rural communities. The movement did not have a central organized structure or hierarchy and was not officially associated with the Catholic Church. So anybody was free to start their own house, and that continues to be the working model today. The Worker also held a strong position on war, violence, and injustice. The paper lost a lot of readership when Dorothy stated the Catholic Worker's pacifist position during both the Spanish Civil War and World War II, taking to heart Jesus' word of love your enemy. Day was arrested multiple times for not complying with air raid drills during the 1950s. Her last arrest was with Cesar Chavez during the farm workers' strike in California in 1973. With the death of Dorothy in 1980, people wondered if the movement would continue on. 12 years later, in 1992, the Winona Catholic Worker was started by myself and good friends Barbara and Jim Allaire, along with a group of people who shared a desire to serve the needs of those in Winona who are without a place to live. We formed a community and aspire to model the tenets of the Catholic Worker that was founded 60 years before us. We opened our first house of hospitality, the Dan Corcoran House, named after a Newman Center chaplain at Winona State, on West Broadway, and started providing hospitality to women and families. We were well supported and were able to open our second house, Bethany House, named after the place Jesus received hospitality from Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And it provided shelter to single men. The works of mercy of feeding the hungry, sheltering the homeless, giving drink to the thirsty have been the backbone of our work with the hope that we are offering comfort to the afflicted. The Winona Catholic Worker has also publicly participated in protests over war and injustice, with several members spending time in jail. We just celebrated our 30th anniversary of the Winona Catholic Worker. We sadly closed the Dan Corcoran House in 2020, but Bethany House remains open for daytime hospitality and provides a space for meetings and roundtable discussions. In 2002, Dorothy Day was given the designation of Servant of God after the Vatican opened her cause for sainthood. It is certainly an honor that Day and her devotion to her faith and the movement she co-founded is being recognized for its work by the Roman Catholic Church, given that the movement has never been officially a part of the Church. Whatever the outcome, what matters is that people have been inspired by this countercultural way of living outside the structure of doctrine, hierarchy, or government regulations, and have chosen a path that builds a society where it is easier for people to be good. We are grateful for both Dorothy and Peter's vision and how it has transformed our lives and our society. It's always our hope that we have been good stewards of the movement and the faith in which they committed themselves to for the sake of their neighbor. Peace and all good to you this morning.
That was loud, I bet. All right. Can people hear me? Well, thanks for indulging me. Mary and I talked a little bit about, you know, how we would share kind of our experience of the Catholic Worker and what it's meant to us. And so we ended up with this tag team approach, which hopefully we'll share a little bit of that vision with you. Mary talked a little bit about the newspaper, and what strikes me in this moment about the newspaper is that on the masthead, for all the things it might say on the masthead of the newspaper for the last almost 90 years, what it says is, love is the only solution. And I've been reflecting on that and what that might possibly mean. I've also been reading a book by Bell Hooks called All About Love and just trying to figure out what on earth that might mean. You know, Mary talked a little bit about Dorothy Day. I don't think she was a sentimental person. I don't think this is like flowery or a soft-hearted, naive kind of love. Dorothy's other favorite quote about love is from Dostoevsky, who one of his characters writes, "Love is a harsh and dreadful thing compared to love in dreams." She knew it was hard. She founded the Catholic Worker in the midst of the Depression in New York City. She knew hard things and saw hard things. So I'm always curious, when people hear that, love is the only solution, what do we think about? When I came across this definition in Bell Hooks, it connected with what you all are talking about as well. She quotes M. Scott Peck, actually, with this definition of love, which is, love is the will to extend oneself, the purpose of nurturing one's own or another's spiritual growth. For her, love is an action. She later writes, love is as love does. It's a thing we do. It's not a feeling or a kind of a warm-hearted, cozy thing. It's what you do in the world. And I think, you know, as Mary talked about, the Catholic Worker movement and the Catholic Worker specifically in Winona, That's what we do. You know, you come to the house, we're not talking about love a lot. We're serving coffee, we're making breakfast, we're hanging out with people who just need somebody to sit with them. And I think that's where you see what love looks like. And I was struck, actually, John, by your reflection. I was thinking, too, in the current context of the world today, right, where police violence is rampant, where gun violence is rampant, where climate change is a pressing, urgent problem, what is it that love actually looks like, right? How do we think about what does it demand of us when we say love is the only solution? I don't think we just say, well, I love that, and I just walk away. It means we have to engage with it in some serious way. There's one more quote I'd like to share from bell hooks toward the end of this book that I would highly recommend, actually. She's quoting somebody else here, too. And she writes, "True love is a peculiar kind of insight through which we see the wholeness which the person is." And I was struck, I've been thinking much about those five former police officers in Memphis as well. Tyree Nichols, you know, devastating violence was visited upon him, but something happened to those men as well to make that possible or create that context in which that was even, that kind of thing could even happen. And loving them means to see the wholeness of who they are as well. She continues, "True love accepts the person who now is without qualifications, to accept the person without qualifications with a sincere and unwavering commitment to help them achieve their goals of self-unfoldment, which we may see better than they do." And I think that meets with what we do in hospitality, you know, to really just be able to be with somebody without judgment, without reserve, to say, we're just going to be here and love you until maybe you can recognize that that's the reality. And so a lot of times that looks like making coffee and making breakfast and running around doing the laundry and this and that and the other thing. But at the end of the day, I think the only thing we've been doing in Winona for 30 years and in the Catholic worker movement for the last close to 90 is really just trying to love people the best we can. And thanks for your interest and attention on that. I'll just leave you with that. Thank you.
I did bring this along, and it's Ken McCullough's book of poetry. And when he was poet laureate, I asked him if he would write an easy essay, like a modern easy essay, because Peter Morin, as I said, wrote easy essays. So this is called Today's Essay, A Nod to Peter Morin. I don't care if you're a Buddhist, a nudist, or a tomfoolerist, a convert or introvert. If you don't care how your fellow is faring, you are missing the ferry, hay down dairy. Democrat or a plutocrat, libertarian, librarian, Republican or publican, what does it matter? Until you see Jesus in the home plate umph, or the lump on the sidewalk, or the chimp in the sideshow, row, row, row your boat down the downstream of American idolaters. Merton and Hopkins were converts. St. Paul did fall on the road to Damascus, but fell up, and not everyone buys his line of goods anyway. What would Jesus do? Take a canoe from here to Memphis? Hop out in hope of Elvis? Look hard, my friend, in the mirror, if you don't see Jesus.